It's December the 26th. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. So glad to have you with us. And as I've been telling you, coming to you live this morning from our home here in Shawnee, Kansas, where I was outside taking care of the dog earlier this morning, and it's kind of foggy and drizzly and cold. It's the perfect, I think, perfect day after Christmas. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas celebration. We certainly did here. You know, I was thinking before I started getting ready to come on the air that I think many of you know that our oldest son, Josh, and his wife, Leah, and their three kids, Knox, Violet, and Noah, they live about a mile away from us here in Shawnee. Well, they sold their home several months ago and bought a new home, but the dates didn't quite line up and had to get some work done on the new home. So Josh and Leah, Knox, Violet, and Noah have been living with us, staying with us while waiting for the renovations to get done. And they're going to be done very quickly now. But yesterday, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of a whole lot of the Christmas mornings back in Oak Park in the early 90s when it was Marlene and me and Josh and Mark and Nick and had to get up early. We had breakfast, Christmas breakfast yesterday morning at 6:45 a.m. because, you know, well, we had breakfast and then we spent about an hour opening presents and laughing and talking, and what a great day it was. So it just was like a throwback, you know, going back 30 years to so many Christmases with our boys in Oak Park. Anyway, glad to have you with us on this day after Christmas. Just a reminder, if you would please, to remember to like this video when we're done. And don't forget, we need you to subscribe to the Keep Believing YouTube video channel. That would help us a great deal. Now, you know, one of the things that has amazed me, we are this week wrapping up the second year of Let's Read the Bible. And what has surprised me the most is the number of people in the last few months who have written to say, Pastor Ray, I am riding the Bible bus the second year. And some people said, I joined on January the 1st last year, which would be 2023, and haven't missed a day. And so many others have joined us here in the second year. So I got on our Christmas cards, we just had friends writing some nice things from Nancy and Tom. It says, Dear Marlene and Pastor Ray, each morning we read the day's reading and listen to the music for that day. What a blessing. We love you both, and we love you too. And then somebody, Jean and Bob, said, Ray and Marlene, Bob and I enjoyed several of your Read Through the Bible programs. Thank you so much. And then this one came in from my buddy. Well, this is from Stu and Betty Page. Stu was the longtime dean at Word of Life Bible Institute, director of the Bible Institute, a beloved man of God and a great friend. And Betty wrote, many blessings in the year ahead. Thankful for you every day. She said it twice. Isn't that nice? Thankful for you every day. Stu listens to Read Through the Bible every day. What a blessing. Well, Betty, to you, and Stu, to you, we love you both. And whoever you are and wherever you are, thank you so much. And I hope as you are watching this and listening to this, whether you're listening live or watching and listening later, just say hello to us there in the comments. Hi, Kathy. Hi, Linda. Hi, Leah. Hi, Janet. So glad to have so many wonderful friends with us. Now, just a reminder of what we're doing. In the pre-taped videos, and you know, I've said that, the Bible readings we've done up until now have always been recorded beforehand, but I decided last year I'm going to read through the book of Revelation live from December 26 to 31, and you say, well, Pastor Ray, you already did this last year. Why are you doing it again? Because it seems more important to me now than it did last year. I got a little story. I don't think I'll take the time to tell you this morning, but somebody asked me recently about something that was happening in the news and how it lines up and where are we in Bible prophecy. And I said, and I do believe this, we are at the door. We are closer now than we've ever been to the fulfillment of the events described in the book of Revelation. So it's good for us to read this together. Now, just by way of introduction to the book of Revelation, you will remember we have at 23 hours of verse-by-verse Bible teaching on the book of Revelation. That's a whole video course called The End of the Beginning. It's free, and you can go to keepbelieving.com, go to the video section, scroll down to the Revelation videos, and you can watch them any time you want. What is the book of Revelation? It is the last book of the Bible. It's the grand central station of the Bible. It's the answer to the question. Well, there are really two questions. Number one, what's going to happen next? How is this whole story, how is history going to come to an end? Well, you find that answer in the book of Revelation. And the other thing, other question and answers is, who's really running this show? Who's really in charge? And the book of Revelation is going to tell us, no matter what you and I may think, the Lord Jesus is the one who is completely in control. I have always been fascinated by this book. I am 72 years old. In fact, it is brought to my attention every single day when I wake up and start trying to, you know, move around a little bit. But when I was a young man, 55 years ago, when I was 16 or 17 years old, I saw some stuff on the book of Revelation by a guy named Dwight Pentecost, Charles Ryrie, John Walvoord, great men associated with Dallas Theological Seminary. I picked up that book by Salem Kurban. That's a name you don't hear anymore. And I picked up eventually the book by Hal Lindsey, who passed away not that long ago, called The Late Great Planet Earth, the best-selling book of the whole decade of the 70s. Became entranced with the idea of understanding Bible prophecy and the last book of the Bible. So when we come to this book, what should we remember? Number one, remember the book of Revelation is, remember the title, it is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's called the apocalypse, but the word apocalypse just means the unveiling. The purpose of the book of Revelation is to teach us who Jesus is and to teach us that in the end, he will rule and reign victoriously forever and ever and ever. And the second thing I want to say is that Satan hates this book. Don't be surprised if in the next 6 days you run into some unusual spiritual warfare. Because of all the books of the Bible, I think this is the one Satan hates the most, because it shows most clearly Jesus wins in the end and Satan ends up in the lake of fire. What is the goal of the book of Revelation? Well, it's in the title. It's to reveal Jesus Christ. And may I say this to you, as a student of Bible prophecy, who's very interested myself in current events and the last days, if you read through the book of Revelation, and you know more about the mark of the beast, you know more about the Antichrist, and you think you know who the Antichrist really is, and you got it figured out when this third temple is going to be rebuilt, and you understand Syria and Iran and Iraq and what's going on in the Middle East and Ukraine and all that, Gog and Magog. If you read the book of Revelation and you think you get your eschatology nailed down, but you don't know Jesus better, then you have missed the point of this book. Our goal and reading it together is to know Jesus better. So what is the outline of this book? It's found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. The angel says to John, write what you have seen. That's Revelation chapter 1. What is? That's Revelation 2 and 3, the letters to the seven churches. And then write what is to come. And that is everything future to us. Revelation 4 through 22. What you have seen, chapter 1. Things that are chapters 2 and 3, and what is to come, chapters 4 through 22. In other words, the past, chapter 1, the present, chapters 2 and 3, and the future, chapters 4 through 22. And the only other things I need to say very quickly, 66 books in the Bible. This is the only book with a blessing attached to it. That is, you ought to read Nahum, but there's no particular blessing attached to the reading of Nahum other than, of course, it is God's word. Book of Job, Book of 2 Corinthians, wonderful words from God, but Revelation is the only book with a blessing that is promised to those who read and keep the words of this book. So while it is true, you will encounter spiritual warfare as we read this book. Don't be surprised if you uncover great blessings. And as we're going through this, and you'll see this morning, note the number seven, seven angels, seven churches. seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. The number seven comes up over and over again. It's the symbol, or it's the number that represents completion, divine completion. We are coming to the end of the age. And so you'll see this number seven coming up over and over again. So what are these four chapters? We're going to read, by the way, Revelation 1, 2, 3, and 4. Chapter 1, the vision of Christ. Chapter 2, four churches. The letters to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira. Chapter 3, three more churches, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Then Revelation 4, the throne room of God. Now, let's pray. Father, as we come on this happy day after Christmas, as we come to read your word, open the eyes of our heart that we might behold wonderful things from this great book. May the blessing that you promise be given to us today, because we are doing our best to obey what you've said and to read the words of the Lord. So, suit a blessing to each heart today as we read your words together in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, here we go, friends. Revelation chapter 1. This is the vision of Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, whatever he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy and who reads aloud the words of this prophecy and blessed are those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in Asia, grace and peace to you from the one who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has set us free from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. The Almighty. Oh, give me just a second here, friends. Here we go. I, John, your brother and partner in the affliction, kingdom, and endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a loud voice behind me like a trumpet saying, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me. When I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was one like the Son of God, dressed in a robe and with a golden sash wrapped around his chest. The hair of his head was white as wool, white as snow, and his eyes like a fiery flame. His feet were like fine bronze as it is fired in a furnace, and his voice like the sound of cascading waters. He had seven stars in his right hand. A sharp, double-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was shining like the sun at full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades. Therefore, write what you have seen, what is, and what will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Now, Revelation chapter 2, the first four churches. Write to the angel of the church in Ephesus, Thus says the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, and your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate evil people. You have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. I know that you have persevered and endured hardships for the sake of my name, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet you do have this. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Write to the church, to the angel of the church in Smyrna. Thus says the first and the last, the one who was dead and came to life. I know your affliction and poverty, but you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison to test you, and you will experience affliction for 10 days. Be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will never be harmed by the second death. Write to the angel of the church in Pergamum. Thus says the one who has the sharp, double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan's throne is. Yet you are holding on to my name and did not deny your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness who was put to death among you, where Satan lives. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to place a stumbling block in front of the Israelites, to eat meat sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. In the same way, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. So repent. Otherwise, I will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone, and on the stone, a new name is inscribed that no one knows except the one who receives it. Write to the angel of the church in Thyatira. Thus says the Son of God, the one whose eyes are like a fiery flame and whose feet are like fine bronze. I know your works, your love, faithfulness, service, and endurance. I know that your last works are greater than the first, but I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and teaches and deceives my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat meat sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to repent of her sexual immorality. Look, I will throw her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great affliction, unless they repent of her works. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who examines minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you according to your works. I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who haven't known the so-called secrets of Satan, as they say, I am not putting any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. The one who conquers and keeps my works to the end, I will give him authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will shatter them like pottery. Just as I have received this from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Revelation 3, the last three churches. Write to the angel of the church in Sardis. Thus says the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Be alert and strengthen what remains, which is about to die. For I have not found your works complete before my God. Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you are not alert, I will come like a thief, and you have no idea at what hour I will come to you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not defiled their clothes. They will walk with me in white because they are worthy. In the same way, the one who conquers will be dressed in white clothes, and I will never erase his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and the angels. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Write to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Thus says the Holy One, the true one, the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will close, and who closes and no one opens. I know your works. Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one can close, because you have but little power, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Note this, I will make those from the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews and are not, but are lying. I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will know that I have loved you because you have kept my command to endure. I will also keep you from the hour of testing that is going to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. The one who conquers, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never go out again. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Write to the angel of the church in Laodicea. Thus says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the originator of God's creation. I know your works, that you are neither hot, neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am going to vomit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy and need nothing. And you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you may be rich, white clothes so that you may be dressed and your shameful nakedness not exposed, and ointment to spread on your eyes so that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be zealous and repent. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, the last chapter for today, and I pause here just to remind you, maybe did you notice in chapter 1, verse 19, write the things you have seen, chapter 1, already done. Write the things that are, that is the church age, chapters 2 and 3, the letters to the seven churches, but now write those things that are soon to happen, soon to come. That's everything from chapter 4 through 22. Past, present, now we're getting to the future part of the book of Revelation. Revelation 4. After this, I looked, and there in heaven was an open door. The first voice that I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. Immediately, I was in the Spirit, and there was a throne in heaven, and someone was seated on it. The one seated there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian stone. A rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald surrounded the throne. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the throne sat 24 elders dressed in white clothes with golden crowns on their heads. Flashes of lightning and rumbles and peals of thunder came from the throne. Seven fiery torches were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Something like a sea of glass, similar to crystal, was also before the throne. Four living creatures covered with eyes in front and in back were around the throne on each side. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like an ox. The third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings. They were covered with eyes around and inside. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one seated on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the one seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne and say, "O Lord, our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power because you have created all things. By your will, they exist and were created." Thus ends the reading for today. That chapter 4, a wonderful vision of heaven, the throne room of God. Now, tomorrow you got to come back because we're going to get to the scroll with the seven seals and weeping because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and break the seven seals, only the Lamb who was slain. So we've got more to view in heaven coming tomorrow. But let me just say this. If you look at these four chapters, there are some things we just ought to quickly note. Number one, where is Jesus today? Well, in one sense, he's where he's been since his ascension, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty in heaven, where he can make intercession for us. But according to Revelation chapter 1, where is Jesus today? It's just another way of expressing that our Lord is everywhere. He is present everywhere at all times. But Revelation pictures him walking among the churches. Understand this, friends. The Lord Jesus loves his church, which is his body. And not just the church in some general universal sense. He loves the local church. He loves your local church. The church you attended last Sunday, Jesus was there with you. When you met to pray and sing and hear the word of God and walk out in obedience, the Lord Jesus was there with you. Not only this, that's good news. Then the bad news is Jesus is with you in the local church. He knows what's going on. He sees the stuff that happens. You know, in those of the messages to the seven churches, did you notice this? There's Ephesus, there's Smyrna, there's Pergamum, there's Thyatira, there is Sardis, there's Philadelphia, and there's Laodicea, which, by the way, if you study a map of ancient Asia Minor, which is Asia Minor, basically modern-day country of Turkey, probably Revelation was a circular letter, and Ephesus was the biggest and most important of those seven cities. Probably the original book of Revelation went this way, went from Ephesus up to Smyrna, up to Pergamum, to Thyatira, then down to Sardis and Philadelphia, and down to Laodicea. And did you notice of the seven churches, Jesus had words of condemnation for five out of those seven churches. Only two churches were praised, and not one negative thing was said. One was Smyrna, and the other was Philadelphia. Those were the two churches who were suffering the most persecution. The Lord Jesus knew the pressure those two churches were under. He had nothing negative to say about them. The problem at Thyatira was, Jezebel, they tolerated Jezebel. The problem at Laodicea, not that they were poor, the problem was the opposite. They had too much money. They thought they were rich and had the money and had the gold and silver and all the fine clothes. They didn't need Jesus very much. And he said, I feel like I need to spit you out of my mouth. So where is Jesus today? Good news and bad news. It's the same news. Jesus is walking among his churches. Second question that is answered by this reading. Where is Jesus, but it's a question that the first readers would have had in the first century. They were beginning. Because this book was written about AD 95 when John was on the island of Patmos, basically a prison island, not far off the coast of Turkey. Marlene and I visited Patmos just a couple of years ago. And there in a cave, John was, in prison. And there in the cave, God gave him the vision. And he wrote it down. That became the book of Revelation. And you could wonder when, there were seven great waves of persecution in the early Roman early part of the first two or three centuries. Does Jesus rule over Rome? Does he rule over Domitian? Does he rule over Nero? Does he rule over all of them? Is Jesus the Lord over Julius Caesar and Caesar Augustus? Did you catch that from Revelation 1? He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. Who are the kings of the earth today? Trump, Xi, Modi, Trudeau, Putin, Zelensky, Netanyahu, and many, many others. Joe Biden, yeah, one of the rulers of the earth. Nothing political meant by anything I just said, but these are great men who rule over great countries of the earth. And understand, these men are not sovereign, not like Jesus is. Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Jesus is ruling and reigning today. And I was listening to the music yesterday. He shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. He shall reign forever and ever. No, I won't sing any more of it. But the great Hallelujah chorus, which we sing at Christmas time, we got to sing all year long. King of kings and Lord of lords, forever and ever. So, my friends, here at the end of this reading, and I know we got to end now. You could look at the world today, see the trouble in Ukraine, see the terrible trouble in the Middle East and Syria, Gaza and Israel, and the trouble in between China and Taiwan, and the trouble in India, in so many parts of the world. You could look and you could say, it's interesting. Boy, my mind is just kind of spinning here. What about those drones? You know, just a reminder. And you know, people have been speculating, you know, from some other countries, or it's our own government. And some people have said it's aliens from out of space. I mean, there's so many things that just knock us off kilter. Is the world out of control? No, it is completely under the control of Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember several years ago talking to my friend Peter O'Donk. I think I've probably mentioned this to you over our years of Bible reading together. Peter O'Donk, head of Word of Life Kenya, great dear friend. I was talking to him on the phone a couple of years ago, and I just said what we often say, these are the last days. And Peter broke in, and he said, oh no, Pastor Ray, these are the last hours. Friends, he's knocking at the door. Someday soon, and maybe today, we're going to hear the sound of the trumpet. We're going to hear the voice that says, come up here. And all the events that are laid out in the Bible, especially these events of the book of Revelation, they are going to unfold. And by the way, did you notice? I know, I got to end. I'm almost there, folks, almost there. Did you notice how many times he said, I'm coming quickly, I'm coming soon? And Jesus says to the faithful people in the churches, hold on to what you have. I am coming soon. Place your hands in the hands of the Lord Jesus, because those hands rule the earth. So then, we're just a few days away from the beginning of 2025. Can you believe that? We're soon going to be one quarter of the way through the 21st century. Don't worry about it, friends. Don't worry about it. Pastor Ray, do you know what's going to happen next month? I do not know. I can tell you after the last year that personally I've been through with medical stuff, cancer treatment and all that, I don't claim to know the future, but I know who does. I know who holds the future. We can trust him. So friends, go out and have a great day. Come back tomorrow. We're going to read Revelation 5, 6, 7, and 8. We're going to see in all the universe, there is one person and only one who is worthy to take the scroll and to open it. We're going to find out about the seals. We're going to get the first mention of the first revelation of the coming Antichrist. So folks, thank you for being with us today. God bless. Go out and have a great day. See you back here tomorrow morning.